Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Sometimes I climb so far, only to backslide. Lord, I may be sliding back, but I will not abandon ship.
Why don't we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, put your anointing upon this church right now. Lord, that the anointing will speak to your people. Lord, that their faith will rise up. They will be stronger in their faith. There will be people of faith, Lord, that will shake the mountain. And they will be, Lord, fruitful and productive in their life, Father. Lord, bring us to the next level in our spiritual walk. We don't want to stay the same. We don't want to be stagnant, but we want to grow and we want to reach the maximum thing that you prepare for us. Thank you, Lord, for the good things that you have in store for all of us in this church. We believe you're such a good God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. First of all, I want to encourage all of you that our church is not interested in your past mistake, but we are interested in the new beginning. God wants us to have the new beginning. Amen. Everyone say new beginnings. Amen. God wants you to have a fresh start in your life. Yesterday is the past already. If you make mistake yesterday, it doesn't mean that you have to live in the rut. But you can move on because by the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can have a new start every single day. You can move on with a new beginning every single day. Amen. So our church would like to help you to start a new life. Want to move on every single day. Don't live in the past, but look for the future. Amen. And I pray today that God will pour out His Spirit upon all of you. I believe that we have not even touched the surface of the great things that God is going to do in our midst. I believe that we just enter into the new page of church history here. I believe that the end time revival is coming and God is preparing His people. He is pouring out His Spirit more than ever before. We're going to experience a greater level of God's favor. We're going to experience the greater level of God's favor and God's grace and blessing and also power and the presence of God in our life. I know that this is just the beginning. Amen. We're going to go higher and higher in the things of God. And the dream that God gives us will become true. I want to tell you one thing. God has so many good things in store for all of us. But we cannot sit still, sit back and be lazy and say, you know, God, you just do your part. No, no, no. We are a partner with God. God will do His part, but we need to do our part. We need to stir up ourselves in the Spirit and have a faith that will shake the mountain. We need to believe in the bigger things, a bigger vision, enlarge the vision so that God can do greater things for us. We cannot sit back and be lazy, but we need to rise up to do what God wants us to do. One thing that God speaks to me all the time is that God wants us to be growing and increasing in everything in our life. God wants to bless you. God wants to meet your needs. God wants to really use you to bless the nation. How can we bless the nation if we don't even have money to pay for the gasoline? How can we bless the nation if we are sick all the time? God wants us to be healthy, strong, blessed, and prosperous. Not so that we will be covetous for ourselves, but so that we can bless the nation. I want to see that many of you one day will go to different nations and bless those nations with your anointing. I heard yesterday that a few people was teaching the class and Pastor Da reported to me that, oh, the teaching was so anointed. And I find out that a lot of people in our church are so anointed to preach and to teach. And I believe that God is going to raise you up in this church to go to the nations. I heard that Jocelyn preached very well yesterday. Amen. How many people want to be used by God? Amen. Hallelujah. But one thing that we need to do, God lately speak to me that God wants our church to grow in the area of faith, the area of confidence in God. We need to develop unshakable confidence in God. That we will one day come to the point that beyond a shadow of the doubt that no matter what come against us, we will believe and trust God that we will have victory. We will come out victoriously and we are not a victim. We are a victor. Everyone say, I am a victor. I'm not a victim. Amen. So we need to be spiritually strong. Amen. The Bible say that John the Baptist was strong in spirit. We need to be strong in our spirit. And one thing that we can be strong in the spirit is to be strong in our faith. My dear brother and sister, one fact that we know in life is that life is not always like a rosy garden. The road to heaven is not a rosy road. We will face troubles. We will face hardship. Life is a fight. That's why Paul said that fight the good fight of faith. We need to have faith to fight the problem. I want to see that our members one day come to the point that you're so strong in your faith, in your spirit, that you can trust God no matter what come against you. You say, it's a piece of cake. It's a piece of cake. I can go through this and I will come out victoriously. Jesus already mentioned about this in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33. Today, the topic of the sermon say, when we face a hopeless situation. John 16, verse 33, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Jesus is in you and he overcome the world. And Jesus said that we're going to have to face problems. We're going to face trials. When you face trials, it doesn't mean that you are not a good Christian. It doesn't mean that you sin against God all the time. But it's a normal part of life that we're going to face hardships and problems. But I want to encourage you today, even though you face a hopeless situation, you need to stay strong in your spirit. You need to stand up with faith. Don't give in and don't give up. Show the devil that you are more determined than him. Amen. You are more determined to live a victorious life than him. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. This is not a good news, huh? Evil day. And having done all, to stand. Everyone say, stand. Everyone say, I will stand in faith. The Bible talk about evil day. All of us gonna face evil days one of these days. Maybe your dreams are shattered. Maybe some terrible news come to you. Calamity strike your home so bad that you feel so numb that day. Or you want to cry and collapse. Maybe you got some devastating news that come against you. Terrible situation come to you. You may say, what should I do in this hopeless situation? What should I do? I don't know what to do. This is hopeless. This is a death sentence to me. But today I want to encourage you by reading a story of a king in the Bible. I love this story. This story always encouraged me to walk in faith. This story is about King Jehoshaphat. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verses 1 to 3, it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them beside the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. This is the situation that happened to Judah, the people of Judah and King Jehoshaphat. They are facing very, very difficult situation. It's a hopeless situation. They were surrounded by a large and vast army. They were just about to be attacked by this big army. And somebody came to the king and said, King, we got a terrible news to tell you. A great multitude are coming against us. And in the matters of days or hours, we're going to be wiped out. In fact, we are outnumbered 10 to 1. Not just 2-1, 10-1. And we don't have a chance. We are in trouble. What are we going to do, King? This is a terrible news, devastating news. I believe that King Jehoshaphat was really shocked. And the Bible says that fear passed through his body like an electrical shock. You know, like the fear came on him right away. This is something that he did not like to hear. And it's like a death sentence to the whole nation. I'm sure that he was in the verge of panicking. He might be even thinking about committing suicide. I just imagine right now. But eventually, he got a hold of himself. And he said, well, maybe we should do this. Let's get all of our wife, our kids, get all the money, get all the belongings, and let's outrun them and run away from them for a while until we can fight them. But after King Jehoshaphat thought that way, they answered him back with a great disappointment. King, we cannot. They come, they surround all around us. They come, we cannot run away. There is no way you can run away. They're going to come to attack us from every single direction. And King Jehoshaphat might have said like this, how in the world could that be? How come this army is much greater than us and bigger than us? And the people say to him, King, this is not only one army. There are three armies altogether. The army of Moab, the army of Ammon, and the army of Mount Seir. They all join force together to come against us to make sure that we will be wiped out from the surface of the earth. We cannot escape this army, King. This is the end of our road. We are at the death sentence right now. It's only a matter of days. It's not only a matter of hours before you and me that we gonna be gone out of this surface of the earth. We will be wiped out. I believe that all of us, one of these days, or maybe in the past, we're going to hear some terrible news like this. The news that sounds hopeless. Something that we don't like to face. A similar situation to King Jehoshaphat. Maybe a doctor walk into his room and say, Mr. So-and-so, I have a bad news. We cannot do anything for you. You have an incurable disease and you may not live that long. Maybe you have a terrible news that one day your husband came home and say, honey, I'm tired of this. I'm leaving. I'm going to pack my luggage. I'm going to walk out on you. Maybe one of these days you may face this terrible news that the boss come to you and say, the business is so bad. We don't make a lot of money. I'm sorry. We have to let you go and you will be unemployed. Or this terrible news may come to us. What are we going to do? When trouble hit us to the point that it knocked the wind out of us. And we say, oh God, this is so hopeless. I'm in trouble right now. It's not worth living right now. Maybe I should commit suicide. You know, a lot of people commit suicide. You may think that, oh, it will never happen to me. But if you don't walk by faith, the devil will use the situation to tempt you to give up, give in, and then gone. A few days ago, I was so sad to hear the bad news in the hospital that one of my good friends, she is a nurse, her son just committed suicide on the East Coast. And the man was well-to-do, he was successful, but suddenly he just killed himself. Very sad to hear something like that. But I believe that the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But he cannot do that to the faith people like you and me in this church. Amen? Because we are the victims. Not the victim. Amen. Hallelujah. So today, we're going to learn from King Jehoshaphat how to deal with the hopeless situation. I can imagine at that moment, King Jehoshaphat must bury his face into his hand and cry and weep. And he was so fearful at that moment because he was thinking about the whole nation going to be wiped out by the army, the three armies that come against him. I want to tell you right now that if you face a difficult or bad news and you cry and you feel fearful, don't blame yourself. God is a God who created us to be emotional being. We all have emotion, is that right? We feel sad, we feel peace, we feel joy, will feel uplifting. We all have emotions and feeling. So sometimes when the bad news come, we may weep, we may cry. And don't blame yourself that you are bad people if you cry and weep. Because we are emotional people. And emotion will affect our feeling. And look in the Bible, many godly people cry and weep. In fact, people in the Bible are not superhuman. They have feeling like you and me. Do you know that Abraham cried, the father of our faith cried and wept at the death of Sarah, his wife. Job wept in the midst of his trials. And Joseph wept when he was reunion with his brothers again. Peter wept bitterly after he denied Jesus for 3 times. And even Jesus himself wept at the tomb of Lazarus. You can see here that weeping and crying is okay. But don't stay there forever. The Bible says in the book of Psalm chapter 34 verse 18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. My dear brother and sister, you may be going through tough times. You may face difficulties right now. But I want to tell you that God sees every drop of tear from your eyes. God understands how you feel. And God is close or near to those who have a broken heart. He is a good God, a loving God. God is still with you even though you face difficulty. Even though you weep and cry, God still loves you and He wants to give you victory. Amen. One thing I learned in life is that death is inevitable. You were born and one day you will die. Is that right? Death usually is a bad news. When we hear somebody died, we were born and we cannot avoid death. But the most important thing is that what you do in life between birth and death will determine what's going to happen in eternity in heaven. Even though we all one day going to die, but you live your life count now so that you will have a lot of rewards in eternity. Many people didn't make it to heaven because they had double life. They were hypocrites. They came to church, but they did not live a life of repentance and they could not make it to heaven. So be careful. Become a member of the church doesn't guarantee you go to heaven. You sing in a choir doesn't guarantee that you will go to heaven. You need to live a life with relationship with Christ. The news of death is terrible. I remember many years ago, my mom passed away. She had the last breath of her life and I was crying. I really miss her. And it's terrible news to me. But God gave me peace and come into my heart that everything going to be fine. She is in heaven right now. She is in a better place than you. Why you cry? Why don't you rise up and continue to serve God and go back to Thailand and preach the gospel and help people to come to know God like what happened to your mom. Thank God that my mom got saved before she died. Amen. God is a good God. So terrible news will come sometimes, but we should not live in weeping and tears and sadness all the time. We need to get a hold of ourselves. You can sit down and weep for a while, but after a while you get up and say, no, I'm not going to stay there in weeping and sadness forever. Amen. I'm going to rise up and I'm going to stand in faith and see victory come. Amen. Get a hold of yourself. Amen. Get a hold of yourself and say, I'm going to be victorious from now on. Hallelujah. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 55 verse 18. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. God promises that when you face an impossible situation, when you face battle, He will give you strength and power and peace that you can overcome and you can come out victoriously. Therefore, don't give up in that battle. Amen. There's a time of weeping and a time of laughing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verses 1 and 4 say, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So there is a season of weeping, but don't stay there forever. Dry your tears, get them out, rise up And get a hold of yourself and stand up strong and say, I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to trust God. And I believe that things are going to go well for me. Because the Bible promised this in Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Not my daughter Joy. A real joy will come in the morning. Amen. Everyone say, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Don't continue to hold on to sorrow. Rise up. Why? If you continue to be in that mode of sadness, eventually you're going to start to let bitterness come into your heart. And then bitterness will develop what? Anger and self-pity. And you're going to start to blame God and blame everybody else. Don't stay in sadness forever. You can weep for a while, for a season, but get out of that mode and go into the mode of faith. Stay with a positive attitude of faith. Refocus yourself. Take a hold of yourself and rise up. I remember many years ago when I chose the Holy Spirit, chose the fire of God, and left a denomination or an organization. I remember I lost all the friends that I know for many years. I love them so much. Many of them are like my own child, my own daughter, that I spend money, I spend time, fly there to meet them. And suddenly, after I chose the Holy Spirit, and I lost, and I chose the Holy Spirit and gave up on the denomination, I lost many friends. I and Da were crying in our house. We were so sad that we lost all these friends. But after a few days, we wipe out our tears. We rise up and we say, no. I'm not going to stay in self-pity. I'm not going to stay in bitterness. I'm not going to blame anybody. I'm going to rise up, love these people, continue to pray for them, and we will continue to go on with the Lord. And we believe that God has something greater in store for me and Pastor Da. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Refocus myself and see what God has in store for me. Jehoshaphat faced the same situation. He was just given the worst news of his life. Death sentence. The armies are coming against him on all sides. It's really badly shaken him. And then there is a period of grief, a period of weeping. But then what happened? Read the Bible. The Bible says that he called all the people, all Judah, to come and fasted and also pray to God. Look at what happened in verse 4 to 12. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Before I go on, I want to encourage you something here. God spoke to me when I prepared a sermon. Number one, don't miss church on Sunday. This is exactly, when we come to church on Sunday, it's a time that we all come together and seek the Lord together and pray for deliverance and healing together. Is that right? Yes. Number two, I want to encourage husband and wife and kids in each family to love one another. And when you face any calamity in your household, husband and wife come together. Kids come together and pray and seek God together. There's a power of the unity of prayer. Is that right? Thirdly, don't come to church and be by yourself. Join a care group. Join a group of fellowship. Because when you face trouble, that group of people can come with you and pray together. Is that right? You cannot be by yourself. You need a group of people to pray with you. This is what happened to the people of Judah. They came together in the city of Jerusalem and they prayed with their leader, Jehoshaphat. Look at what the Bible says in verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord. You see, don't miss church. Come into the house of the Lord. Before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, when you face problem, oh, I'm sick, I'm do this, I have problem. Don't get depressed and miss church. Come into the presence of God. Because you're going to get miracle in the presence of God. Amen. They went into the temple in the presence of God. And they're going to get a miracle soon here. O Lord God, our Father, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hands is there not power and might?
so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? I like God to call me friend. It's good. And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence. It's so important to learn how to get into the presence of God, the tangible presence of God. For your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you has given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. In other words, Jehoshaphat said, I don't know what to do. I come to the end of my road now. But our eyes are upon you. Everyone say, our eyes are upon you. My dear brother and sister, I can imagine all these people fasted and came to the temple together. They knelt down and their face looked up to heaven, their hands up like this, and they began to pray. My dear brother and sister, when you face a hopeless situation, what you need to do is gather together, seeking God together, fasting and praying together, look up to heavens together, not look down, but look up, and your hands go up, and begin to turn your eyes toward the great I Am, the Jehovah Jireh, the El Shaddai, the God of more than enough, the Omnipotent One, the powerful God who created the heavens and the earth. Amen. Turn your eyes to God in the situation that seems very hopeless. And this is how you pray. And I believe that you pray like this, according to the Bible, you're going to see the answer. Number one, you pray like this. Remind God of who He is. That's what Jehoshaphat did. Two, thank Him for what He has done. And three, remind Him of the promises of God recorded in the Bible. When I face trouble, this is the way I pray. I pray like this. Father in heaven, you're such a mighty God. You're the great I Am. You are the omnipotent one. You are full of grace and mercy. You hang the stars in the sky. You created the heaven and universe with your words and your power. Nothing is impossible with you. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the God of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are so full of mercy. You love me so much. And you care for me. You are very concerned about my life. And I am the apple of your eyes. I did not choose you, but you chose me first. I did not love you first, but you loved me first. You are such a good and merciful God. And thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for sending those missionaries to Thailand many years ago and witnessed to me and gave me the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus Christ to die for me on the cross. And He shed His blood to cleanse me from all sins and all iniquities. Thank you, Lord, for cutting me off from all the curses in my life. Thank you, Lord, for sending the fire of God to cleanse and burn all the junk out of my life. Thank you, Lord, for protecting me and redeeming me from the evil one. Father, we thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for healing me from allergy in 1994. I thank you, Lord, for healing my wife in 1988. And then she can be pregnant and have a baby, and actually two babies. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a wonderful wife, wonderful three children, and wonderful son-in-law. Thank you, Lord, for giving me such a wonderful members and leaders in this church. I thank you for your protection. You're such an awesome God. You spare my life so many times. And Lord, I know what you say in the Bible. I want to remind you that you say in Psalm chapter 34, verse 19, that many are the afflictions of the righteousness, but you shall deliver us out of them all. I believe, Father, that you promise in the Bible in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 2, I will go before you and make the crooked place straight. Amen. I remember you say in the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 28 that when the enemy come against me one direction and I obey you, they will flee away from me for seven directions. And I will be the head, not the tail. I will be victorious, not the defeated one. I remember you say in the Bible in the book of Corinthians and the book of Romans that I will be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And not only that, you say that you will always cause me to triumph in all circumstances. Lord, now I face a big, difficult situation, hopeless situation. I know you can help me. I will not put my eyes on the situation, but I will put my eyes on you. And I trust you that you will deliver me from this situation, and I will come out victoriously. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Number one, remind him who he is. Number two, thank him for what he has done in your life. Count all the blessing in the past. Number three, remind him of his promise. And he is a supernatural God. He has unlimited power to help you in any circumstance. Pray like that. Be strong in your faith. Having positive attitude of faith. And pay attention to God. Don't pay attention to the circumstances. And you're going to come out victoriously. I want to encourage you today. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Amen. Think about the goodness of God all day long. Think about the awesomeness of God. Think about what he has done in the past for you. Think about how faithful he is. Don't let people pull you down by a talk that say, oh, there is no way you can come out from this situation. Oh, this situation is too difficult for you to win. No. Don't listen to man's reasonings. But trust in God and always meditate on the goodness of God. Meditate on how great he is and see yourself come out from that situation victoriously. Have a vision of yourself standing victoriously with your shoulder up and your smile on your face and say, I have victory in my life. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen. Don't put your eyes down to the ground. I notice a lot of people walk like this. Because they just look at the circumstance in their life. Chin up. Look up. My God is a great God. I'm going to look up to heaven where my help's come from. Amen. Don't walk like this. Walk like this. Amen. Because your help come from above. And if you can do that, something supernatural going to happen in your life. God's going to move on your behalf. The victory going to come because you trust in the Lord your God. Look at what happened to King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. Verse 13 to 17 say, now, O Judah, with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord, miracle come now. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the son of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, come into the presence of God and God will speak to you, give you the solution, give you direction what to do. And that's why I love the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's why I love the fire of God, because in the presence, in the tangible presence of God, God will speak and give you direction. Listen, all of you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat. Thus say the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismay, or do not be paralyzed by this situation because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Let's give the mighty hand of praise to the Lord. If the Lord is with us, who can come against us? Amen. And Jesus promises that I'll give you all authority on earth. And I will be with you to the end of the age. The Lord is with us. Who can come against us? Do not be afraid of those hopeless situations. Do not be afraid of all the calamity that come against you. But stand still. Don't be polarized by those situations. Because you are not going to fight the battle yourself. God going to fight the battle for you. Amen. Look at the book of Proverbs chapter 21 verse 31. The Bible says, the horses are prepared for battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Everyone say, victory, belongs to the Lord. Amen. And you notice in this story, the Lord told Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah to do something very strange. It doesn't make sense. What the Lord told them is to march down and attack the enemy, which outnumber them 10 to 1. The Lord told them to do something very unreasonable. Why smaller army go to attack a bigger army? But the Lord said, march down. But I want to tell you this. God is smarter than you. God is wiser than you. Let God be God. He knows what he is doing. So when you come into the presence of God, you come and pray together, lift up your eyes to heaven together, depending on God, relying on God. Lift up your hands toward God and pray and seek God and pray the way I just taught you a while ago. Then you come into the presence of God and God begin to speak to you and tell you the word of encouragement that he will give you victory, but he's going to tell you what to do too. You see that in the Christian life, it's a co-labor thing. When Jesus told Peter, come out and walk on the water, Peter need to step out into the water to see the miracle. The same thing God told the children of Israel to step out into the battle. What I try to tell you is this. When you come to God, God told you to do something, even though it looked unreasonable. Doesn't make sense. Do it. Amen. You do it because that's going to bring the breakthrough because faith have to follow by action. So God told Jehoshaphat, go, move, attack them. Sound unreasonable? But what happened? In verse 17, the Bible says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear and be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And look at what happened in verse 18 to 21. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of Kohathites and of the children of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So it's okay to be loud in the church. Amen. It's okay to say, hallelujah! We don't have to be quiet in the church. They rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. Trust God. Have faith. You shall be established. Believe in his prophet and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, and his mercy endures forever. You can see here that King Jehoshaphat did something mysterious here. He went out instead of putting the spear and sword in front of the army. He put the worship team. Worship is important. Amen. Put worship in front and worship the Lord because you know why? Worship brings the presence of God. And when God is there, the enemy cannot resist. The enemy will have to recede and go backward because the presence of God go before them in the praise and worship. That's why when we come to church, we praise and worship God first. Amen. Have a CD in your car. Have a worship CD in your car. Have a worship CD in your house. Turn it on. And listen to the worship and praise God. Have a melody in your heart and sing song all day. And God is going to give you the victory because the presence of God is there with you. Amen. Therefore, the worship team is important for the church. You need to worship God all the time and you're going to see victory. Jehoshaphat put the singers and musicians out in the front of the army. And look at what happened in verse 22. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Praise the Lord. They went out, the worship started to sing. Praise the Lord. His mercy endures forever. And the voice keep louder and louder and louder. The Lord won the battle for them. Supernatural thing happened in worship. They destroy each other in the battlefield. Verses 24 to 30 say, when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude and their dead bodies fallen on earth. No one had escaped. All the enemies were killed. No one has escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them abundance of valuables. Everyone say abundance of valuables. On their dead body. And precious jewelry. All the ladies say precious jewelries. Okay. Which they stripped off for themselves. And more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days scattering the spoil. Everyone say 3 days. Oh, a lot of stuff, huh? Sometimes we move our house, we try to move within one Saturday morning and it's done. They spend 3 days to collect all the spoils, all the jewelries, all the valuable things, gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berasha. For there, they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Berasha until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord has made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments, harps and trumpets, to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemy for Israel. And the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. My dear brother and sister, when you face a hopeless situation, you look up to God, you pray to God, you depend on God, you stand in faith, you listen to his voice in his presence, and you obey what he say. And then he gave you victory, he fought the battle for you, and after that, it's a time of recovery. It's a time of getting the lost and found. It's a time of taking all the spoils. Taking all the things that the devil stole from us many years ago. Amen. Now it's a time of recovering our children from the hands of the enemy. It's a time to have a recovery of money from the hands of the enemy. It's a time of recovery of all the things that the enemy tried to take from us. I remember many years ago in 1997, we started the church in 1988, and the devil attacked me and Pastor Da so badly to the point that we were at the verge of divorce, even though we were pastors. Both of us were pastors. Talk well, we couldn't get along. It's all my fault, not Pastor Da's fault. So I want to be clear to you right now. It's all the husband's fault. I was not sensitive to her. I was working too hard. I did not have time to her. And the devil blinded my eyes. I didn't see myself. And one day, I never forgot, I went to the altar of a church service. I knelt down and raised my hand before God. And then I say, God, save my marriage. This is a hopeless situation. We are on the verge of divorce. And I don't want that to happen. I still love her. I don't want to break up my family. And God is so good. God sent me to get touched by the fire of God in Portland. Then I went to Tampa, Florida, got touched by the fire of God. The fire of God came into our life, and then he began to tell me what to do, and our marriage was restored completely. Now we love each other more than before. Now we have a happy married life. Amen. Hallelujah. I cannot wait to go home to see my wife every day now. It's so good to be able to marry Pastor Da. Amen. God is a God of restoration. God is a God of the lost and found. You can restore, and it will not take only 3 days to gather all the spoils, all the blessing. Now we are blessed financially. We are blessed children-wise. Thani Da met a very nice young godly man. You know, I believe God will bless Joy and bless Paul. God bless our children. We restore. We pick up all the spoils from the enemy. And we're going to live a victorious life. And not only that, the news of the supernatural thing that God has done for us, God saved us, God has done great things for us, will spread all over the nations. We're going to be a living testimony. You're going to be a living testimony that the whole world will hear that your God is still alive and your God is a victorious God. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you excited? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So don't be discouraged when you face hopeless situation. What do you need to do? You turn to God. Gather all together and lift your eyes to God. Lift your hand to God and begin to pray and trust God. Go into the presence of God and listen to God and do what God says. Amen. Stay firm in your faith. Don't be shaken by the situation. Get a hold of yourself. Don't cry all the time. Rise up and stand in faith. And your God is going to fight the battle for you. Amen. It's not your own battle, but it's God's battle. If you love God, trust God, I want to encourage you. Just be faithful to God. Go to church every Sunday. Go to care group. Study the Bible. Listen to CD. Get involved in a local church. Serve the Lord. Be faithful to Him. Amen. Have the right heart. Don't look down. Look up to God. And remain in the positive attitude of faith all day long. When problems come in, don't complain. Don't be bitter. Don't blame anybody. But check yourself, repent, and ask God to give you direction of your life. Come into the presence of God all the time. Love the Holy Spirit. Love the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Can we pray together and ask God that God will help us? And one day, I believe that this sermon is going to be good to you, because when you face trouble, you can do the same thing. You learn today the lesson. Some of you now, you may not need it, but you may need it one day. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we believe, Lord, that this church will be people who are so full of faith, trust you, depend on you, Lord. We will not be complainers. We will not be people who always gripe and complain, but we will be the people who will come together in faith and stand before you and love the presence of God. We will be the people of prayer, and we will trust you, Father. Father, please show yourself so strong in this house that you are still with us, and you will, Lord, bring us through all the hardships and come out from every circumstance victoriously, Father. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Give the mighty hand of praises to the Lord again. Amen. Amen. Are you encouraged today? Amen. You're encouraged. Will you do what I say today? What the Holy Spirit say today? Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.